Because after you've been at a church for 31 years, you get new members. And there are some very basic principles that all new members ought to be taught, or they ought to be reinforced on it. And so a pastor has a problem in that he's got some members here that know this material better than he does. But I try to put it in a new way, same teaching, to get people to think about it. And in these messages, what I was led by the Spirit to hope was that those of you who have trouble with security of the believer, new members, will be reinforced, like Teresa. That's what I wanted for Teresa. And some of you that are so battle-hardened, like Kenneth Eubanks, I try to put it in such a way that it approaches it from a new way, to where the people that have been members a long time get something out of it, and the people who have just joined get something out of it. And Teresa, I don't mean to embarrass you, but you have no idea how much joy I have had in watching you, come out of a worrying about losing your salvation to where now you're firmly secure in it. And that's a great joy to a pastor, and it's the same way with any of you that I've ever dealt with. Escaping by grace only to be recaptured by the law. That's one of the greatest tragedies today among saved people. A lot of people get saved, and after they're saved, immediately they're besieged by false teachers who try to take them right back under the law. And many of those people are just as saved as I am. But immediately the false teachers get a hold of them, and they say, yes, Jesus died on the cross for all your sins. But, and after that word but, that's where all the trouble starts. Because that one little word determines whether you serve God because you love him, or whether you serve God because you have no confidence in his ability alone, and you have to add some of your own works to it. Now, Matthew 11:28. Jesus knew why the law was given, because he's the one that gave it. And when the law was given, it had a purpose. It was supposed to make people guilt-ridden. It was supposed to be a heavy burden on them. And it was supposed to be so heavy to them that as they tried to keep it, being honest with themselves, they would be forced to say, I can't do this. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Which was what God always wanted. And those people, he saved. And this is the offer that Jesus is making in Matthew 11:28. He says, come unto me, a person, him. You don't get salvation by coming to baptism, or by coming to works, or by coming down a church aisle. You get salvation when this heavy burden of guilt and sin that you have, because you know you do bad things, you know you think bad things, you know you've got parts of your personality and character that are not pleasing to God, and it bothers you all the time. Jesus says, you come to me, and he said, I, personal pronoun, will give you rest. This is a rest obtained by coming to a person, Jesus Christ. It is a rest that is given. And the rest that is given is a lifting up of that terrible feeling of guilt and hell-boundness that a person feels every time they sin and wonder, have I gone too far this time? Am I going to go to hell now? And what do I have to do to make it up? That's a terrible way for a saved person to live. In our society, it is not uncommon for a young man to get so far in debt that he goes to a loan shark to get enough to pay off his gigantic debt. That's not uncommon. Imogene and I had to borrow $430 to get married. And from that time until I think we had maybe our fifth child, we stayed in debt continually. And we would borrow money to pay off loan companies that had loaned us money, and I think we consolidated three or four times. Now I worked hard, and I had a decent salary, and I wanted Imogene to stay home and take care of the kids, so I did a lot of other things besides just work for the government in order to make ends meet. But throughout our early marriage, we were under a heavy burden of guilt because it seems that we could never get things paid off. In our society, it is not uncommon for a young man to get so far in debt that he goes to a loan shark to get enough to pay off his gigantic debt. The loan shark lets him have the money, but he has to get an extra job to repay the loan shark. And even with the added burden of his new additional job, he is only to pay the interest on the loan. He is only to pay the interest on the loan monthly. He gets an additional job, but he's only able to pay the interest on the loan monthly. He's not even paying on the principal. He's got an extra job, he's working hard, and he's barely able to pay the interest on the principal. Now, this pleases the loan shark immensely. Since this man will keep paying off the loan for the rest of his life at a much greater final cost, but will never pay it in full. I've known people that have gone through their whole life that way. So, he keeps on paying on his debt month by month, year after year, and finally dies at age 80 without any of the actual debt being paid. That is not uncommon in this country. And believe me, it's a terrible way to live because you're robbing Peter to pay Paul every day of your life. The loan shark is much like the devil, who successfully keeps him paying all of his accountable life, and he dies without ever completing the payment. A lifetime of paying off loan companies and loan sharks, and that is exactly what they want. They want you to keep on paying for the rest of your life because all you're paying on is the interest, and they keep making more and more and more money on you. The devil is a lot like that. The principal is the total debt he owes by law that says he must pay it. He is a slave to the law that demands full payment. In other words, you've got to pay it off in full. The loan shark is delighted, and the devil is delighted, if you can't pay anything but the principal, and you just have to keep on the interest on it. The monthly payment is the great burden that hangs around his neck all his life. With each new payment, reminding his conscience it is still unpaid. He dies knowing his labor has not been sufficient to pay off the total debt. People who come to Jesus alone for salvation receive it. It is not alone. That's the important and wonderful thing about the love of God. People who come to Jesus alone, not to baptism, not to church membership, not to works, but people who finally throw up their hands in the air and admit to God, I cannot live up to your standard of righteousness. I'll try, Lord, but I can't do it. Those are the people, when they finally come to understand that people that came to Jesus alone and put their faith in him, they receive it. It is not alone. You don't have to pay it back. Forget about the interest and the principal. He paid the interest and the principal and everything. He pays the full debt and charges them nothing. Now, if you can't love and serve somebody in a church that did that for you, I'm not going to browbeat you into serving God. Because when you come to church, you have to always recognize, I don't have to come down there to go to heaven because Jesus did it all. And if you want to be that mean-spirited, and if you want to feel like that toward God, I'll tell you how much he loves you. He'll let you do it. Now, in all honesty, you ought to be willing to die for a God like that, or at least serve him. The principal is the total debt he owes by law that says he must pay it. He is a slave to the law that demands it. The loan shark is much like the devil, who successfully keeps him paying all his accountable life, and he dies without ever completing the payment. The monthly payment is the great burden that hangs around his neck all his life. with each new payment, reminding his conscience it is still unpaid. He dies knowing his labor has not been sufficient to pay off the total debt. That's a terrible way to live. What in the world did Jesus die for if it wasn't to pay off the total debt? You mean to tell me that the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, is so menial and demeaning that it wasn't enough to pay the full debt? That's an insult to God. People who come to Jesus alone for salvation receive it. And it is not alone. He pays the full debt and charges them nothing. He paid their debt off completely and forever by his works and his blood. You're free. You're free. If your faith is in Christ alone to get you to heaven, you're free. Now, you want to show your love for God? Then serve him because he set you free. Not because you're afraid he's going to send you to hell or forsake you. He paid their debt off completely and forever by his works and by his blood. Saved people who go back under the law are paying on a debt they no longer owe. Teresa, you remember how horrible it was when you were saved, but you were afraid that Jesus was going to take it back. Isn't it wonderful to know that it's yours and that now when you come and worship him, you can worship him for what he did for you in setting you free? There's nothing like it. And I feel so sorry for people who never come to realize that. Because God meant to be served in love, not to be served by force. He wants you to respect him. He wants you to fear him. But he wants you to love him. And when Christ comes to live in you, he wants you to reflect your love toward his Father. And he uses what his Father did and what he did on the cross to set you free from eternal damnation in hell. So you could choose to serve him or serve yourself after he saved you. It is a penalty. Saved people who go back into the law are paying interest on a debt they no longer owe. It is a penalty they pay for not going on in the study of the Word to understand Jesus paid it off forever. You remember, Teresa, when you finally came to the conclusion, he's not ever going to drop me or leave me. Wasn't that a wonderful feeling? There's nothing like it. I'll tell you who I feel sorriest for. It's people that honestly, genuinely get saved. And they get under false teaching. And those false teachers convince them that they have to do this, 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 this. And for the rest of their lives, they're scared to death that they're going to hell if they don't do this and this, and it has about this much faith in God. I'm thankful it requires about that much faith in God to be saved. But I'm also thankful that your faith can grow afterwards when you come to realize how free he sets you. If they continue in his word after he saves them, then they will come to understand how free he has set them from the condemnation of God to hell for all their sins, past, present, and future. I have watched churches whose whole drive and whole purpose for their existence is to get people saved, get people saved, get people saved, get people saved, get people saved. And after they get them saved, they put them in soul-winning classes and get them out there and get others saved. But those people, many of them, never come to know God because they don't continue in the Word long enough to get to know who it is that indwells them and will never leave them nor forsake them. Now, he died for all their sins, past, present, and future. And some people are so concerned about their children getting saved that they force them into salvation when they're very young because they don't want their kids to go to hell. Believe me, you don't have any confidence in God if that's your attitude. You don't have any confidence in God at all. I don't question your love for your children, but you don't have any confidence in God because you want to push the issue. And so finally, because they know you want them to go down the aisle, or they know you want them to make a profession of faith, because they love you and respect you, they make a profession of faith, and then for the rest of their lives, they sit there on those church pews, lost as a goose, but knowing that they cannot go down the aisle because they've already made a profession of faith. Why can't we have enough confidence in God to simply present His Word and let the children make up their own mind in their own time and their own way? John 8, 30, 32. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on Him, If ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples, My taught ones indeed, aletheos. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you think when I got saved that night, that I went home and I've never had a doubt about my salvation since? Certainly not. Do you think that after I went and submitted to baptism and came up out of the baptismal waters that everything was fine and I never had any doubt about my salvation whatsoever? Well, if you think that, you don't belong in this church. Because quite frankly, I didn't understand how saved I was until I continued in the Word long enough to where the new indwelling Spirit that I received the night I repented of my sins and trusted Jesus, a simple childlike act, I didn't know how saved I was until I continued long enough in the Word for the Holy Spirit that came to indwell me the instant I got saved could teach me how secure and safe I am. And I'll tell you what, I thank God for my salvation, but sometimes I almost want to thank Him more for teaching me how secure I am in Christ, because it made me love Christ and made me see how much He loved me. Failure of a saved soul to know Him more and more in a full relationship as He reveals Himself in His Word is the major reason many saved souls never find the second rest He defines in the verse following Matthew 11:29. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. When I came to understand that the God of this universe, who was Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, when I came to realize that He was meek and lowly in heart, and I came to see the personality of this man, and I began to realize the price He had paid for my sins on the cross, and I came to understand that no matter how bad I am, no matter what I do, He loves me and will never forsake me, then I took the yoke upon me. I got baptized. It was actually 13 years after I was saved. Well, 11 years before I got baptized and learned of Me. Then I started to learn about Him. And I discovered what He's like. I hope you've discovered this about yourself. I mean you no offense. I mean you no harm. I don't mean to irritate you or make you mad. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You are not that way by birth and by nature, nor am I. And when you look at this man, who was perfect in every way, and yet he humbled himself as a man and went to the cross and died for your sins, and you go ahead and you take his yoke upon you, and you say, well, Lord, I want to work for you. I want to do what you want me to do. He said, I want you to become like this. He said, I want you to quit having such a high opinion of yourself. I want you to quit thinking you're somebody. I want you to quit thinking that you're always right. I want you to quit losing your temper over something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I want you to shape up and be like Me. He says, that's what I want. If you'll do that, you'll find rest unto your souls. You know what a soul that never finds rest is? Somebody that's proud and haughty and arrogant and always has to have his own way, gets mad at the drop of a hat, and stays mad for 6 months. No, life's no fun that way. You think you're hurting the other people? You just hurt yourself. You don't hurt the other people that much. You just hurt yourself because you've got Christ living inside you. And he bugs you to death about it until something happens in your life, one way or the other. The yoke of the devil under the law is a heavy burden one carries all their natural life. By comparison, the yoke of Christ we put on after we are saved is a zillion times lighter, because we have been forever removed from the condemnation of God for sin. Matthew 11:30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Teresa, do you remember back when you used to believe you could lose your salvation? You remember what a yoke that was? What a burden it was? Never being sure you've done enough? Not knowing exactly how much? Remember how horrible that was? If some of you have never had that experience, I wish you had, because it's horrible. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How do you like that? I like it too, Teresa, because I don't have that heavy burden anymore. I still feel bad when I sin, but I run to Jesus like a little frightened puppy dog and ask him for forgiveness. If you think too highly of yourself, you won't run to him. And you'll try to work God into your busy personality as to how you think God ought to be. But this is the easiest yoke I ever carried in my life, because I've got somebody on the other end that's not going to drop me. One of the reasons that so many people will not submit to God, themselves to God for service, is this. They are still dealing with God on the basis of an unpaid debt, and live under the apprehension he is angry with them. It is only natural they will try to avoid him, much as the man who avoids contact with the loan shark, because he still owes him the debt. I have always opposed in this church, at least for the last 20 years, trying to get young children, forcing them into making decisions. Because I've watched many of those young children grow up. And those children are going to do what granddad wants or what mom wants. They're going to do what their parents want. They're going to do what the church members want them to do. And they finally make a profession of faith. And after they make it, they're stuck with it. And they can't embarrass their grandparents or their parents, and so they quit coming to church and drop out. And you are responsible. You are responsible because you didn't have enough confidence in God's Holy Spirit to let him handle it in his time and way, and you pushed it. That's wrong, and it should not be done. One of the reasons so many people will not submit themselves to God for service is this. They are still dealing with God on the basis of an unpaid debt, and live under the apprehension he is angry with them. It is only natural they will try to avoid him, much as the man who avoids contact with the loan shark, because he still owes him the debt. If believers continue in what his word will teach them about the character of the one who saved them, if they'll do that, they will eventually be convinced that what Jesus did on the cross was sufficient to forever deliver them from the spiritual death of being eternally separated from me in a lake of fire. They will come to realize they will never again go back under his condemnation for sin, having been passed from death to life. I will say this much for my mother and father. They took me to church. They never pressured me. They would talk to me about Jesus, and they would tell me how wonderful he was. My Papa Mike and Phil, my grandmother and grandfather, they never pressured me. I never heard them talking to other people. "I hope Tom might get saved." And let me tell you why they didn't do it. I didn't know it then. Because if old Tom Mack thought they wanted him to get saved, old Tom Mack would have trotted right down that aisle. And so that's one reason I'm so hard on this subject. When I got saved by Jesus. And I didn't go down that aisle to please anybody, except to go to the Lord and trust in Christ to save me from what I knew I was. Because I did not love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul. I did not keep all his commandments. I was not a good little boy. The law that God gave had shown me what a sinner I was, and I didn't go to anybody but Jesus, and nobody ever put any pressure on me. Do you know what putting pressure on your children and grandchildren is? Pray about it. Pray about it all the time. But don't put any pressure on them. Because what you're doing is saying, well, I'm going to help the Holy Spirit. Now you may say, well, I don't look at it that way. You may not look at it that way. But the Holy Spirit is perfectly capable of doing this all by himself. And what you have to do is to show them Jesus in your life and let those children know what he means to you. And let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. Very early, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present indicative active, means when you believe you have everlasting life right then, and you've got it forever, otherwise it's not everlasting, and shall not come into condemnation. That's what happened and is passed from death unto life. I didn't know that the night I got saved. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell, and I knew Jesus died for me, and I knew he was God's son, and I knew if I'd go to him, I believed he'd save me, and I went to him. And I asked him to save me. I didn't know all that. But after I got saved, by the grace of God and the power of his Spirit, he kept me in the Word long enough to let me know that I've been passed by God's Spirit from death unto life. I will never again come into condemnation. And I have everlasting life right now, and I will always have it. What a joy it is to serve God. I love it. I love every minute of it. Because I've been set free. And I've been set free to choose whether to serve or not to serve. And every one of you that knows Christ as your Savior, you've been set free. And God put the local church down here so you could serve in it, work in it, learn in it, perform in it. And that's what the purpose of God is in your life. And there's nothing like it. Because you're not serving a God who's going to send you to hell. You're not going to serve a God who's not going to forgive you for the most horrible of sins. You're serving a God who loves you and gave himself for you. Security of the believer is the start of a relationship with Jesus that becomes more and more personal as one gets to know him. It is the beginning of a relationship that leads to the saved soul finding peace under a light yoke. And thank God I found it. Heavenly Father, I don't know how to thank you. I can never thank you enough for teaching me and showing me your word that I'm eternally yours. And what a light yoke it is. And what an easy burden it is to bear. It's a joy, Lord. Matthew 11:29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The relationship with Peter is a journey in this life that is well documented by Peter. This is what God asks of us. You can read it. You can see it on the screen while I'm talking. It's about 4 minutes till. And I think it's important to get people out on time. I used to think I just had to jam everything in about 2 or 3 minutes. But I put enough in here to make these things the right length. And when I come to about 4 minutes till, I stop. Not because of any pressure. I just don't think I need any more time than that. Because